Its name is quite unique, Kwechubit or pinch cake. It is called so as the cooked cake from a pan is taken out with cake tongs by the trader, so it is like pinch. The ingredients of the cake are quite simple. This cake is sweet and delicious. It's really nice to eat with a cup of tea or coffee. It has various shapes. It is small and funny that everybody likes it. However, generally, Kwechubit is round. On the top of it, there are usually sprinkles to make it more beautiful and delicious. Kwechubit is a quite popular snack in Jakarta. This cake is usually found in various parts of the city. However, usually Kwechubit is sold in school areas and traditional markets. It is quite cheap. It costs about 1,000 rupees per piece. It depends on the topping. Kwechubit with cheese is surely more expensive than Kwechubit with sprinkles. You can also order cooked or half-cooked Kwechubit. Both have delicious taste.
broadcast. Today, live visual broadcast. Live radio broadcast. Music labels. Podcast. Media news. And various user interaction features in the game. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
We have already proven our commitment to managing Indonesia's wealth and assets with very careful financial discipline and responsible governance. In our first 100 days, my administration secured over $20 billion in savings, funds that were once trapped in inefficiency, corruption, misallocation, but will now be channeled into 20 high-impact national projects, creating real long-term benefits for our people.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to VOI Talk with me, Rahma, that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and also YouTube channel live on VOI Official. Listener, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Monday launched Daya Anagata Nusantara or Danantara Investment Management Agency. This agency will function as Indonesia's sovereign wealth fund to manage national investments. So can Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia? We'll talk more about this with our today's source joining us here on Zoom. We have Eko Listianto, Deputy Director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF. Good morning, Pak Eko. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Mbak Rahma.
Welcome to VOI Talk. So we just talk a bit about Danantara that is recently launched. How promising you'll see this program?
Okay, yeah. I think this is a new innovation from the government about this institution. About the prospect of this new institution, I think we still have some question maybe about how to make sure that this Danantara will make a big profit and share the dividend for the government. I think overall we have opportunity to make sure that in the future we have we have a lot of money or liquidity to make sure that our economic growth will be better. But so far, if we look at the structure of the Danantara and also the plan for, I think, for the middle and the long term, we still has a challenge, I think, for explain, especially to the public, because this is not easy to explain to the public, actually, because this is a super holding. It's so many I think new a new word and for the common people, but overall I think we have a chance to make Indonesia better, especially in the economic good with this institution, because actually the big challenge for the Indonesia to achieve 8% economic growth is about how to make sure that there is enough liquidity in to grow the economic.
Okay. Before going deeper into the challenges, how to run it, let's have more insight to our listeners and viewers about Danantara itself. What is it all about? How it will be running and who's or which behind this agency?
Yeah, Danantara, it's this is actually a super holding. Yeah, the money it's come from the dividend from the some of our several SOEs, yes, state-owned enterprise, and this institution, the Danantara, will manage their dividend, this dividend to invest, yeah, and to do some project, yeah, to make sure that it will give profit, yeah, for this Danantara, and also with this profit, they will make a bigger investment and also give the dividend for the government. Yeah, this is the general concept like this. But because this is a big big holding, so Danantara can invest both of in domestic and in abroad investing in both also. This is like we call sovereign wealth fund, yeah, but with the a big or the I think a big role, yeah, in economy.
Okay, and talking about the investment, what sectors will Danantara invest in, and how can it increase investment in Indonesia?
Okay, Mbak Rahma, in Danantara, it's actually separate to a big holding, yeah. It's called operational holding and also investment holding. The operational holding will manage not just investment, but this is also operational. Actually, they also manage the project, yeah, and try to invite another or maybe investor, yeah, but both of from domestic and also from the outside of Indonesia, yeah, from the abroad, yeah. And for the investment holding, it's manage just invest, yeah, just invest. It mean just invest in some maybe a project, maybe we call maybe government bond and everything that will give return, yeah. So this is like a passive income, yeah. We call that, in operational, yeah, they also do also involve, yeah, in all of we call it the operational of this this project. So this is the difference. So if we talk about what will the Danantara do with this big money from the government or from the SOEs, I mean, yeah, they try to invest in some strategic project, yeah, like downstream industry, yeah, and also even in artificial intelligence. Yeah, yeah, President said there are about 20 potential project. Yeah. But I think in the detail, yeah, we need to wait the explanation from the Danantara itself. Yeah.
Yes, but what I got information that it's also still paying attention to, for example, green economy, but related, yes, to climate change like that. But what about the mechanism of Danantara for managing state assets to make them more productive?
To make them more productive, I think we can call it capital, yeah. This is the Danantara has come from big SOEs, yeah. So in BRI or Mandiri and also Mind ID, there is so many talent, yeah, that they can try to get a more profitable project, and so on and so on. And I think with this a good human resource from this Danandara holding, I think there are some chance to make a profit, make a good project. I think that's all about the how to make a productive. So we need also to more information, I think, from the government and from the Danantara, because this is just a 3-day, I think, the announcement from the president.
Okay. And you think will it have an impact on micro, small, and medium enterprises and the people's economic sector?
Yeah, we hope. Yeah, this Danantara will give some impact from the MSMEs. Yeah, but I think the first challenge is to prove to the public to make sure that this Danantara will make a more profitable for the government. It's let's call it quick win from the Danantara. MSMEs also will involved in this project, I think, because one of the purpose of this institution is to create more job. So more job, it means need to involve the MSME, but I think in the short term, they try to prove that they will make a bigger profit. To make sure that they will in the next step, they will try to invite MSMEs too to join the project. In some area project, of course, not in all project, I think.
Okay, you said earlier about profit. Then another important thing is transparency, accountability. How do you think the government guarantee those issues?
With the big question from the public right now, I think the transparency is still the big challenge, especially for the short term. Public still confused about the mechanism of the Danantara, transparency and governance. It's still a big question. Even the government said that there are so many monitoring institution, I think, or evaluating institution from many stakeholder, but the big challenge for this institution is to explain for the public, because we can see that the CEO of the Danantara is also ministry in one department. So this is not easy. I think a good explanation that is due action that they need to, especially for the executive Danantara, need to independent. They have some position in some strategic institution. I think it's not good for the public. We know that so far public still I can say distrust with this governance because the structure is still confused, especially for the public.
Okay. Transparency and communication to public to strengthen the trust. And talking about the organizational structure of Danantara, like you mentioned before, that it is led by Minister of Investment and Downstreaming. There are also former presidents of Indonesia as the Advisory Council. And there's also British former Prime Minister Tony Blair in the Supervisory Council. So what is your opinion about this structure, especially Mr. Blair?
Okay, Mbak Tama. in short, I can say that it's still not enough for public, yeah, and also for the investors to give a good explanation, I think, yeah, for the public, and also good guarantee, yeah, that this institution will give a profit and also give a good governance, yeah, because if we look at the background for some people, I think, yeah, executive in there, it's still a big doubt, I think, yeah, because this is the background come from a politic area, yeah, not investor area, in some of the people, yeah, in this executive, yeah, and also I think the double job from the CEO and as a minister and also as a CEO, give a bad signal, yeah, for the market, I think, so far, yeah. So we need I think for the Danantara with the final decision, it's still in some a good strategic position for the CEO and for the executive, or yeah, they need to choose, yeah, the position.
Okay, so with the organizational structure and the mechanism that we talk about before, can really Danantara increase investment value in Indonesia?
Yeah, I think we have a chance in this aspect, yeah, because before Danantara, the dividend from the government is just, yeah, become state budget, yeah, and also we disburse, and that's all. There is no profit in there. So after Danantara come, yeah, I think we can manage this dividend, and also we can invest more in some strategic projects. So this is the big chance for us to make investment bigger and bigger, and also, yeah, of course we need transparency, accountability. The challenge for today, but I think for the long term, yeah, we have a chance to make the investment bigger in Indonesia.
Okay, and in other countries, there's also this sovereign wealth fund, like in the Singapore Temasek or GIC. How do we compare with that? And how do you think that we can be like the Singapore's sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, in short, we can imagine Danantara is like Temasek, actually. It's a little bit different with GIC, because GIC is they try to manage the international reserve from the central bank, yeah. But Temasek is holding from some of state-owned enterprises. So I think this is similar with Temasek. Yeah, we still try to make a bigger as Temasek not just in terms of asset, but in the activity. I think, yeah, this is still a big challenge for us to. Yeah, we hope one day we will become the, yeah, like Temasek or maybe Hasanah in Malaysia.
Or what things that we can learn from the Temasek or the other country's sovereign wealth fund?
Okay, I think the lesson learned that we can try to, from this Temasek, I think first is about the governance. Yeah, I think this is a good Temasek, yeah, has a good governance, yeah, that we can look from the standard, yeah, and also from the Moody's S&P accreditation. The first grade, I think, so dan antara still have challenge to yeah at least same with Temasek in some area yeah like in the grid also the yeah we need to start I think start from the international standard for the governance. I think if we can make this institutional aspect, yeah, we will has a chance yeah, to one day will become like a Temasek.
Okay, and final question is, what is the key success so we can be like Temasek or Norway sovereign wealth funds, and then your expectation, please, for Danantara.
Yeah, Mbak Rahma, my first expectation is about the clarity, or I mean the yeah, we need to make sure that the executive from the Danantara is independent people. Yeah, there is no some of position. Yeah, it will confuse for the public and also for the investor. And if there is no change in this structure, I think the investors never come, yeah, because there is so they always doubt about the position. Yeah, and the second, my expectation is about the chance for the Danantara to become a game changer, I think, for the saving investment gap in Indonesia. So the big problem in Indonesia is actually about how to achieve more than 5% in GDP growth. The first thing that we need to tackle is about the more liquidity. Yeah. And more liquidity will come from, yeah, I think Danantara has a chance to invite more liquidity to Indonesia, yeah, to the domestic market. So yeah, let's we see, yeah. One, yeah, we need to give opportunity for the Danantara to prove that they will invite more investor, yeah, and create more project that will make Indonesia economic better.
So the key success, according to you, for Danantara?
Okay, the key success is, of course, it's about the governance. This is the top priority for me.
Okay. Danantara, 2 days just launched. We still have long time to go, and hopefully we can see the real implementation of Danantara to increase investment value in Indonesia. Eko Listianto, thank you so much. Deputy Director of INDEF, Institute for Development of Economics and Finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mbak Rahma.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk about Danantara Investment Management Agency that was just launched on Monday by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, whether it will increase investment value in Indonesia. Hopefully. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more insightful VOI talk only on Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. VOI.
Do you know? There is Lingsir Wengi, a Japanese song that is believed to summon spirits. However, the lyrics of Lingsir Wengi apparently aims to do oppositely. The song, which is also called Kidung Remekso Ing Wengi, was created by Sunan Kalijaga and sung after evening prayer to prevent any spirit or demon from coming. The lyric can also mean as a prayer to the god.
not stands for Mary Jane, but for Mulan Jamila. Indonesian female singer with her distinctive vocal character, and now she is legislator here in the Indonesian Parliament. The song is called Cinta Mati, or Dying Love. And previously, long away before the special interview or VOI talk, we present you, we introduce you to Wastra Wonders, which is Indonesia's traditional fabric. We have introduced you to Ulos, the sacred cloth of North Sumatra's Batak people. Then we have Tenun Ikat, or woven cloth. Then we have also Songket. Now we have Tenun Gringsing, a symbol of health. It is from Tenganan, Bali. It's a rare masterpiece made using the double ikat technique. Its name derived from gring or sick, and sing, which means no sickness, symbolizing health, protection, and Bali's deep spiritual harmony. Then we have batik, a UNESCO masterpiece. The fabric that's a UNESCO superstar, crafted with a wax resist dyeing technique. This iconic fabric features motifs unique to each region. This design symbolizes things like harmony, protection, and prosperity, blending art, tradition, and storytelling seamlessly. Then, Wastra isn't just fabric, it's a time machine woven with tradition. Dive into Indonesia's art history by exploring weaving business, joining workshops, or rocking timeless textiles. Celebrate and support the hand that keeps Indonesia's heritage alive and thriving. On this edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song entitled Untungnya Hidup Harus Tetap Berjalan or Fortunately Life Must Go On by Mostly Keroncong. The song expresses someone's acceptance of a life journey that is not always easy, but she realizes there are always good things to be grateful for. The song was released in June 2024 and popularized by a singer from Surabaya, East Java, Bernadia Ripka. This song was created by Bernadia with Petra Sihombing. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Untungnya Hidup Harus Tetap Berjalan by Mostly Keroncong. Happy listening. February 21st, and here is a clip of a special dialogue on VOI Talk on the International Mother Tongue Day.
In a very general sense, the mother tongue is someone's native language or the first language of someone. It is commonly the first language that is taught by parents to their children, or a language that is used mostly in a family. In the broader sense, especially if we associate it with Indonesian linguistic perspective, the mother tongue is the regional language or local languages itself. Because in Indonesia, mother tongue in the most family is the regional language. So if we talk about the mother tongue here, we talk about the regional language. The trend is nowadays seem to be going the opposite. More and more family use Indonesian as their native language. So your mother tongue is Indonesian, of course.
Although apparently, ideally, my mother tongue should be Nias language, right?
Well, listener, get the details on the VOI Talk on the International Mother Tongue Day on YouTube channel VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Vice Minister Agus Yudhoyono to build giant seawall from Banten to Gresik. Indonesia and Malaysia to establish 9 border points. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto assigned Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono to construct a giant seawall from Banten to Gresik. According to Prabowo, the construction of the seawall is aimed at saving the northern coast of Java from the threat of submergence. President Prabowo is optimistic about the project, however, he cannot predict how long it will take to build it. The project will be initiated soon, and the budget for the project is already allocated. The government of Indonesia, through the Coordinating Ministry for Legal, Political and Security Affairs and the Malaysian authorities, plan to establish 9 border points. This is done to resolve and strengthen the immigration system of both parties. Minister Yusril stated that the negotiations regarding the border points have been conducted well and without crucial problems. He is optimistic that both parties can realize the negotiations regarding these border points. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.